a lot better now than he was doing, say, 24 hours ago. 24 hours ago, Steve was over India. He suffered very, very severe turbulence and actually got ready to bail out because he was concerned that the plane was going to break up. But, you know, fortunately, after a few hours of that, you know, the plane held together and did remarkably well, and he's continued across the Pacific, and he's now just coming into America. And I would say, you know, we're sort of cautiously optimistic. I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be. I mean, at this stage, it's too close to say whether he'll make it, and it's going to be a bit of a nail biter. But as a betting man, my guess is that when he gets to the East Coast of America, he'll fly on and give it his best shot.
What can you tell us about how he's doing personally?
I've talked to him three times a day. He's desperately needing sleep. But I think that, you know, as he gets closer to the end, the adrenaline will start kicking in. And I mean, he's been awake for 4 days before. He's just got to stay awake. I think, you know, things like the bad turbulence will help. I mean, what didn't help was that, you know, the first 12 hours, the temperature in the plane was 130 degrees. Mm. So, I mean, it was just, you know, in fact, the equipment itself was breaking. The equipment itself was breaking as a result. So, and that's, 130 degrees Fahrenheit. So,
right.
You know, but and so he got very dehydrated. He would have lost a lot of weight, but anyway, the temperature has cooled down as the time's gone on, I sometimes think he's sort of half android, half human. I mean, he's about the only person in the world I know who could cope with something like this, he is coping, and I think if the plane will make it, he'll make it.
If you'll pardon a personal question, this has got to be hard on you as well. Can you tell us how you and the team are holding up as well? I doubt that you're getting any sleep either.
I've been on adventures like this with Steve, and I suspect you're right. It's sometimes easier to be in the driving seat than be in the back seat. So. But anyway, all of us are, you know, very close friends of his, and I think having him got through the Indian scare, I think that you know, he won't head over across the Atlantic unless, you know, he feels that, we won't let him head off across the Atlantic for the final leg,
right.
Unless we feel we can safely get him home. So I think in some ways the worst of the frights are over, we're just hoping that he'll go into the history books Saturday evening English time.
Mm-hmm. We know you have to get going, so last question to you. Beyond just the remarkable accomplishment of him as an individual to endure this kind of a challenge and putting together a machine that accomplishes this, I mean, if and our fingers are crossed it is successful, I mean, what follows from this? What is truly accomplished, perhaps long-term?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, from Virgin Atlantic's point of view, the reason we built this craft was to see whether light composite materials that we used for Virgin Atlantic Global Flyer, you know, just how far one could push them, and, you know, and it is fantastic what has been achieved, and what we're hoping is that we can then persuade Boeing and Airbus and the other aircraft manufacturers to build all the big commercial jets in the future with these materials. I mean, they're incredibly strong, as has been proven over India, and you know, they use very little fuel, and they're environmentally friendly. So you know, so it is in a sense a test craft for the industry, and you know, from the public's point of view, apart from, you know, helping the environment, it'll help keep the cost of airfares down, because a big percentage of the cost of flying is the fuel.